The Apricity Podcast is sponsored by Apricity Marketing, bringing authentic, effective marketing to your business. Find out more at apricity.com. That's APRICITY.com. You're listening to the Apricity Podcast. The Apricity Podcast brings you interviews with the Ann Arbor area's most interesting entrepreneurs and innovators. I'm your host, Maggie Cease. Welcome to episode 7 of the Apricity Podcast. Today, I'm honored to bring you my conversation with Zohre Abani. Zohre moved to Michigan from Iran at the age of 18, and since then has gone on to found the Pars Center, a Persian language and culture school dedicated to teaching the history, literature, and culture of Iran, and has been running it for over 25 years in Ann Arbor. In this interview, we talk about challenges she faced when she first came to the U.S., what motivated her to found the Pars Center and to continue running it over all these years, other events she hosts, and we even get to hear a favorite poem of hers by 20th century Iranian poet Ahmad Shamlu. She even reads the poem in both Farsi, the official language of Iran, and English. So now, please enjoy my interview with Zohre Abani. So you moved from Iran to the U.S. when you were just 18 years old in 1979. And I wanted to start off by asking, what was the political and cultural climate like in Iran when you were growing up there from the time when you were a young child to just before you left?
When I was growing up and finished my middle school and high school in Iran, Iran was a very westernized country. And the Shah of Iran came to power by the coup of 1954. And on the surface, Iran was very modern country, but in reality, it wasn't. The gap between the poor and rich was very significant. And the role of religion was very obvious in Iranian society. And when I graduated right away after my high school, the riots against the Shah of Iran started. And every day I was watching Iran was losing the control and couldn't function. Riots, meetings, and the Iranian people, they wanted change in a path of democracy and maybe reach to the democratic country. And I was there until the last week Shah left Iran and the Prime Minister Bakhtiar took over, and then it was 2 months before the new government established and I left Iran. But the time of my childhood and being a young person, I had a great memory, like Iran was peaceful during that time.
Mm-hmm. So what factors contributed to you leaving Iran and coming to the U.S.?
During the time I applied for university and I accepted in, I was in a waiting list for one of the Iranian famous Iranian university, but because of all those on Iran wasn't in a stable situation, the university couldn't function. And the whole country lost function. And my dad was very wise man, actually. He encouraged me because he had the history of changes in Iran during 1954, before the coup happened. Okay. And he said, it's better to go to America because my brother was here.
okay.
and pursue your higher education. That's reason. Instability was the core element for me to leave.
Okay. So you left Iran and your parents were still there and your brother was here. And what was that experience like for you coming to the U.S. at that time?
It was exciting, but in the other side was I was very anxious to see what is the future. And it was like most of the time I felt I was lost in an island and I cannot find any way to reach the path to find my home. The feeling of fears, feeling of you cannot communicate basic things, and you have to start everything from scratch. And the changes, because it happened during the time, still you are not sure, do you want to leave Iran? Always you are in a situation, you're thinking, oh, maybe it wasn't a right decision I made. Maybe it's better I go back. But adapting with the new situation, it wasn't easy. Still, I remember like how you have to find a job, how you have to support yourself, how you have to start going to college. Everything is dueling of being excited and being fearful.
Yeah. And what part of Michigan were you in when you
I had admission for Western Michigan University to for one semester to learn English, mm-hmm. and then I accepted admission for Lansing Community College, and I went to Lansing,
mm-hmm.
and then go to Central Michigan University and graduated from Central Michigan University.
Okay, awesome. What did you study at Central?
My bachelor degree is computer with minor in mathematics, and my master degree is industrial management and business.
So shortly after you left Iran, as you mentioned, a lot started happening there right around that time. So just to give a little bit of context, so in 1979, the Shah, the last Persian monarch, left for exile, and Ayatollah Khomeini came to power later that year. And he then declared that the Iranian Revolution was an Islamic revolution, and consequently formed a theocracy where Sharia law was enforced. There were other things going along with that, like dress codes and the banning of things like Western cinema. Additionally, opposition to the government was often violently suppressed. So my question is, how did these events, even though at this point you were halfway around the world, you were living in the U.S., how did they affect your life as you lived in the U.S.?
First of all, I was in a shock, along with all Iranian people, to see the revolution change in drastic way. Iranian people had their movement to be free from dictatorship, government of Pahlavi's dynasty, to democratic country, but it didn't happen. And I think most Iranians were shocked to see the new laws enforced by this government, especially like forcing women to have hijab, and the even previous members of Shah executed without any court, without any regulation. Iranian people didn't have revolution for Islamic revolution. They wanted freedom, democracy, and making everything, making their own destiny by themselves. And I remember very clearly during 1980 when American hostage crisis happened in Iran. We didn't approve this barbaric action towards American people in embassy. And we didn't support that, but it was hard to explain this to American people. Mm-hmm. They judge Iranian, most American, they judge us because of the action of government, and we couldn't make a difference. Like, we don't support this kind of action. Mm-hmm. And there was, it was very hard situation, and I remember, like, we couldn't get a permission to work. It was hard, and it was so difficult to explain. There is a difference between government anywhere and people. You cannot judge whole nation by the act of bunch of a. I think that was the first terrorist act, actually, during the hostage crisis. But we paid the price too, because it was a fearful situation that time. I remember all Iranian students, we went to Salvation Army, and the immigration came, they took picture, they took fingerprint, and that was a hard time. And every day we were a witness to see Iran's situation is going backward, and that was a hard for most Iranian, because we lost the respect internationally. That was a hard to witness that.
Mm. Yeah. So I'd like to talk a little bit about some of the things that you've created here in regard to really sharing your Persian culture with others. And so one thing you did was you went on to found the Pars School. This is a Persian language and culture school dedicated to teaching history, literature, and culture. And you've been running it for over 25 years as a volunteer. What motivated you to start the school and continue running it over all these years?
I love Iranian culture, Iranian tradition, and I always keep that in my heart and in my mind, and I never forget my root and my background. And when I came to America, I loved the democracy, freedom of this country, and it was a time I had to make decision, I want to be here forever, or I want to go back and have my children grown up over there. Mm-hmm. I made that decision because I have two beautiful daughters, Rosa and Nina, and because of them, I made decision to stay in America. This is a land of opportunity for people if they are focused to get education, and in the other side, I wanted them to know about my background. Mm-hmm. And I always told them, if you have access to different languages, is like opening another window, and that made me to make that decision. They have to learn language. Any nation, if they wanna keep moving and be strong, they have to keep the culture and language alive. That's the reason when my daughter started her first kindergarten, I came to Ann Arbor, and then with the help of other friend, I made Pars School. And this was a place to teach the first Iranian American generation, they grew up in America, to not to be confused. They can be American, and this is their land, and this is their country, but they can learn about the beauty of other culture. And I thought, this is my responsibility, and this is, I have to, and it's not easy. You have to be sacrificed. You have to be very devoted to your culture. And because of that, made me to move forward, and I am so proud to be part of Iranian, for Iranian community. I established something during this time, many different group from many Iranian and many American came to our school from all over Michigan, from Lansing, Kalamazoo, Novi, Northville, all over the city. They came to Ann Arbor to get this chance to teach their children Iranian language, mm-hmm. Persian language.
So how many students have you taught over the years?
Close to 572 people.
Wow. They,
range between 5 years old till 63 years old. We had students, and we had another thing for Parsi school is an independent school. We don't get any fund from anywhere. We are not getting any money from anywhere. And with the tuition of students, we were able to function. And the school was open to most Iranian or American. They have interest to learn Persian language and culture. We had a minority group of Baha'is people, Jewish people, Zoroastrian, American, Latin America, and people of Iraq. They came to learn Farsi. And that I think this is another beauty of a school is open. They have to have respect with each other, with different group or religion. They are welcome to learn Farsi.
Mm-hmm. If I can ask, what has contributed to you deciding not to have any funding for your school?
It is very important if you want to be, because if you get any like money from another group, sometimes you have to, you are obligated to follow their, like I remember one time they offer from mosque and other, like another group say you can teach the Persian books published in Iran with a picture of the hijab, those stuff. I mm-hmm. always kept it independent because it's very important to teach them the right way. It's all about language, mm-hmm. not political views. I never allow anyone mix politics with the learning stuff. And that's reason you have that freedom to teach them right material, easy to understand, instead of in very sometimes I think if you allow another books comes from Iran to teach them, you have to, there is a political and religious view in it. I didn't want that. I wanted to create material easy to understand for students. They are growing up here. Even for American, I wanted them to know the culture of Iran and the history of Iran, the literature of Iran, especially poetry. That's the reason it's very important to create your teaching material. And I create that for a whole year. I have books for, I create the books for kindergarten, for advanced group, for basic material for people that just want to learn easy stuff for Iranian history or culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you wrote all the books that you teach from?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did that.
That's wonderful. So also around the same time that you started the Parsa School, you also started organizing two annual Persian festivals, a fall festival and a New Year's festival, which takes place in the spring. Thousands of people have attended these over the years. So I wanted to ask, how do celebration and joy come into play in your work of teaching Persian culture?
Iranian culture during ancient and during Hakamnishi dynasty, Iran was a Persian empire, and Iranian people always celebrate joy, happiness, and we have one of our common tradition is going to each other's house and have just eating and dancing and talking. And I thought the most important things are parallel to learning how to read and write Farsi is access to practice the culture and teach students the beauty of the culture. And that's reason we have two big event. One in fall, Mehrigan is a fall festival and is a very old tradition in Iran, even before Zoroastrian. Mithraism is very famous in history. Iranian people gathered, support a school. This way we can have a support for a school and people have a chance to see the program, and if they are interested to bring their children, is a good way to promote a school and mm-hmm. They join to be a member of our school. This way we can teach culture to students. What's our culture? What's our tradition? And another big event is very, very important for Iranian is a Nowruz, mm-hmm. Iranian New Year. And Iranian New Year doesn't have any religious, it's not a religious event. It belong to all Iranian people with different ethnic background or religious background. They celebrate Nowruz. Mm-hmm. And students, they have a chance to learn about dancing, reading poems, singing, has a big effect on students to create more loves for them towards learning process. And that was a key element for, I think, for a school to keep continuing having those big celebration. And I think it's very important to have access next to the learning as a how to practice it. Mm-hmm. And this way they had that chance to in front of hundreds of people, and they have a chance going on the stage and dance with wearing traditional dress and dance like Turkish dance or Kurdish dance or singing. That was a big influence on them to connect with the culture.
Mm-hmm. And you've also been an active member of another event called Persian Poetry Night for over 20 years. And I know that you love poetry, and you've always loved poetry ever since you were a young child. Who are some of your favorite poets?
I love poetry from my teenager years, and I never forget one of my teacher in high school. He came and he said, today I want my student, I like to ask my students to participate reading the poems. And that was a new experience. We didn't have that kind of experience. Always teachers read something and we had to memorize it. But he was very different, and I didn't know I have the passion towards poetry until he mentioned it, and I remember I started reading a poem, memorized it, and I got A plus for that.
Oh.
And then I found out, oh, poetry is a beautiful piece of literature. You can connect to many things, connect to nature, connect to love, connect to another human being, connect to your political views. That's the reason I remember if I had A or B plus, A plus, A minus, my brother, my older brother always gave me money for it. Like if I graduated with good grade, he gave me money. And then I asked my dad, can we go to bookstores? And I collect all those books. I love poetry. I miss my country, I read a book. I read poem and listen to music, and I repeat that. Mm-hmm. It's a part of me. I have two favorite, many favorite poets, but mm-hmm. Ahmad Shamlu is a modern Iranian poet. He devoted his life for freedom, justice, human rights, and globally things I remember one time they asked him, where is your country? He said, my country is in global. I am Iranian, I am African, I am Korean. You have to see in his poem, when he's talking about poverty, he doesn't see it just in Iran. He see it, you have to end poverty in the whole world. You have to bring freedom to whole world. He was a great translator. He did translating Langston Hughes. I remember I had his poem, he translated.
Wow.
He came to America, actually invited by many Ivy League university, and in 1990s, I think he came to University of Michigan, invited by Iranian study. Dr. Winfer invited him. And another poet is Farooq Farrokhzad, the first Iranian poet. She was in a Iranian modern poetry of Iran. And of course, Rumi is a famous. Rumi is another my favorite poet.
Yeah. So I was wondering if you had a poem that you could share with us.
Actually, I have, and if it's okay, I like to read it in Farsi first and translate it in English.
That would be awesome.
This poem is all about when you grow up in a country there is a dictatorship country, and always that fear of maybe someone comes and get me and put me in prison, or the censorship, like how you have to say things. Maybe they found out this is all about, some people, they don't agree with it. He explained in this poem, the name of it is In This Cul-de-Sac.
Okay.
در این بن‌بست. دهانت را می بویند مبادا که گفته باشی دوستت دارم. دلت را می بویند روزگار قریبی است نازنین، و عشق را کنار تیرک راه بند تازیانه می زنند. عشق را در پستوی خانه نهان باید کرد. در این بن‌بست کج و پیچ سرما آتش را به سوختار سرود و شعر فروزان می دارند. به اندیشیدن خطر مکن، آن که بر در می کوبد شباهنگام به کشتن چراغ آمده است. نور را در پستوی خانه نهان باید کرد. آنک قصابانند برگزرگاه ها، مستقر با کنده و ساتوری خونالود. روزگار قریبی است نازنین، و ترانه را بر دهان شوق را در پستوی خانه نهان باید کرد. کباب قناری بر آتش سوسن و یاس، روزگار قریبی است نازنین. ابلیس پیروز مست سوز عزای ما را بر سفره نشسته است. خدا را در پستوی خانه نهان باید کرد. In this poem is very similar to the situation, like you see ISIS people, they hate love, they hate passion, they hate joys. Mm-hmm. It's very clear to see that. They smell your mouth to find out if you have told someone I love you. They smell your heart, such a strange time it is, my dear, and they punish love, a true fair, by flogging. We must hide our love in dark closet, in this crooked dead end of a bitter cold. They keep their fire alive by burning our songs and poems. Do not place your life in peril by your touts. Such a strange time it is, my dear. Who knocks on your door in the middle of the night? His mission is to break your lamp. We must hide our lights in dark closet. Behold, behold, butchers are on guard at true fair, with their blood strained, cleaver and chopping board. Such a strange time it is, my dear. They cut off the smiles from lips and the songs from throat. We must hide our emotions in dark closets. They barbecue canaries on a fire of jasmine and lilac. Such a strange time it is, my dear. Intoxicated by victory, Satan is enjoying a feast at our morning table. We must hide our God in closet, in dark closet, my dear. And he devoted his life for freedom and for justice.
So you also work for the Department of International Studies at U of M, and you work as a cataloger for Persian books. So I was wondering, how does this work relate to your passion for teaching and promoting Persian culture?
I love my job because I'm surrounded with books, and actually had a very good effect on me to see, because we receive many books with different opinion, and you learn how to accept different ideas without any judgment, because you have to catalog them and see them as a, even maybe you don't agree with the books, many books you don't like the subject, but you learn, and you have to see people differently, and that's reason I am more, because of my job, I am now more devoted to my culture, and that's reason had a good effect to teaching materials and try to encourage my students to read more. Unfortunately, because many things now is by computer, internet, people, they don't have, some young people maybe lost interest to reading books. And now I, for next year, like one of my plan is if someone does a good job on learning material, then I, the award is giving them a book. Mm-hmm. And or last year I when I was working in a school, I had two American students, and most my students, they were in age, the range of the age was like 10 to 13, and I encouraged them to go Google about this poet, or go Google about one famous city of Iran. And this way, I think because I'm working in a university with different subjects, books are about culture, about religion, about history, even photography, and sometimes I learned many things through my jobs, because you have to make research for cataloging is not easy things. You have to just read a little bit about the books, find out what ID is the right one for the each books. And this way, I think I try to encourage my students study more about different things, and had a, I think that was a most important part I learned in my job.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's so cool. So how can people find out more about you and the work that you do?
The best way is they can call, they can email me, zohreabani@yahoo.com.
Okay.
They can, if they want to learn about a school, or they need some direction, how to learn Farsi, or how what's the step they have to take, I am willing to help them, because University of Michigan has Iranian study too. They can take Farsi class in University of Michigan, and I am so proud most students in Farsi school, they are attended in University of Michigan. They take classes. One of the staff over there told me half of my students, they were Parsi school students.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. Awesome. Well, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about that I didn't ask about?
No. And I hope American people, unfortunately, many things happen in Middle East is not the good things they hear, but most countries, especially Iran, has a very rich culture, and I hope people, they can see that beauty of our culture, beauty of the history and the peace. When Iran was Persian Empire, the peace and was the main message of the King Cyrus, and to accept people. And in Iran, I grew up with different minority groups, and I hope American people, they see Iranian, they are more Iranian nation are a peaceful nation, and I hope someday we can peace in the Middle East, especially in Middle East, especially in Iran. Yes. And I hope one day I can travel into Iran and have a chance to show the country I grew up to my children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today, and thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Thanks so much for joining me for my conversation with Zohre. You can find more information about the Pars Center and the other work she does on apricity.com, as well as the names of the authors and poets she mentioned. Tune in next time for another incredible interview.